You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker, Pastor Paul Esposito here. Thanks for taking 15 minutes of your day to join me. I believe it's Tuesday on the radio, and a happy Tuesday to you. God bless you today. We're in, this is part two now of this message that just started yesterday. It's called Law or Grace. Hope I didn't offend anyone yesterday. That's not my intentions. But anytime I see doctrine go awry, is that how you pronounce that? A-W-R-Y. Anytime you see the corruption of doctrine and the truth of the Word of God, that gets under my skin, and this is what's happening here. This is what I see going on around me, and that is people trying to keep the law in order to be right with God, and it's not right. And this is what we're looking at here. We're looking here today, yesterday and today, at the Apostle Paul's teaching on how the old covenant is obsolete now. You can read that, and whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, maybe that was Paul. Hebrews 8:13, the old covenant is obsolete and ready to vanish away. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, this is what we're looking at and where we're focusing on here today. The Apostle Paul comparing the old and the new. He says he's made us as sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. He calls the old covenant a ministry of death engraved on stones. This is what we're looking at here, that the old covenant was never designed. The law was not designed for you to keep it. The law was designed to condemn you. There's only one person who could keep it, and that is Jesus Christ. You can't keep it. The law is why Paul called it a ministry of death. And a ministry of condemnation, because the law condemns you, because it says, don't do that. And you don't have it in you to not do it. But now you've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And now this is where we're at. This is the next part of this. I'll quit yakking and we'll go to part two. If you'd like a copy of this, email me, paul@wmiefm.com. Here's part two of Law or Grace.
So that's the premise. What does the Word of God say? That's all that matters. First off, if you would, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Matthew 5, 17. Now, what I didn't say a minute ago, what I wanted to say, is if you weren't paying attention, you went from nostalgic to apostate and fallen from grace, because grace removes the credit from you and gives it to where it belongs, up there. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that no man can boast about it. You keeping the law does not make you right with God or get you closer to God. God gets all the credit for your salvation. You get none. God gets it all. Matthew 5:17. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So, question is, fulfill what? Answer, prophecy. Bible prophecy. So when Jesus said he came to fulfill the law and the prophets, he meant he came to fulfill the Old Testament and Old Testament prophecies written about him. Which is why that's where he took every time to prove to people who he was. Walk with him on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24, beginning at Moses and the prophets. He expounded in them all things concerning himself. For instance, we read in the Gospels, "Teacher, silence your disciples." And he responded, "I tell you the truth, if these should keep silent, then the stones would cry out." Why did he say that? Because of the text open right in front of him. "I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill," is what that means. Let me add a word to that. "I did not come to destroy," Psalm 118, "but to fulfill," Psalm 118, which is, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Eulogetos ho erkomenos on onomati kurios. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's what he meant when he says, "I am here to fulfill." Or Psalm 22. "My God, my Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me?" Because he did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Psalm 22 says, "They gambled for my clothes. For my clothing they cast lots." Why did he say that? Because I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill. When it says they pierced my hands and my feet, they stare at me, I can count all my bones. Why did he say that? Because he did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. That's what he meant when he said that. Remember, well, first let me say, if this is your only argument for trying to keep the law in order to be right with God or please God, you're on thin ice. Because I've just showed you what that really means and you've misunderstood it. Or you've been taught the wrong thing. When you say you try to keep the law and point to Matthew 5:17, you've misunderstood Matthew 5:17. It doesn't mean Jesus kept the law, now you have to. He kept the law because you can't. Remember, you're not allowed to go to the Old Testament to establish your position. Because the author of Hebrews told you he has made the first obsolete. Now, what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Also, you're not allowed to go to scholars and authors to establish your position. Don't even run that by. I don't care what scholars wrote. Do you know how the Reformation of the church was started? Do you know what the two Latin words are? Someone help me. Sola Scriptura. What does that mean? Louder. Scripture alone. I don't care what some scholar wrote when a scholar is contrary to the word of God. Jesus Christ is the end of the law. Let's read the rest of the verse. The end of the law for righteousness to those that believe. But you can't respond. You can't use the Old Testament to refute that. And don't send me things that scholars wrote, whoever you could find in your corner, because I don't care what the scholars wrote. I care what the Bible writes. And I encourage you to do the same thing. It doesn't make any difference what a scholar wrote. Read what the Bible says, what the Word of God says, only. If the scholars fall in line with that, then the scholars are right. If they differ, then they're wrong. I don't care how many degrees they have. Let me ask the question. Why would you try to keep the law in order to be right with God and to make him happy? Now, James wrote this. Whoever keeps the whole law, but yet stumbles in one point, he is guilty of all. Guilty of all. Friends, you're helpless. You're hopeless. You're the Titanic on a collision course with a giant iceberg. Better yet, you're on a collision course with The Rock. And I don't mean Dwayne Johnson. What does the Apostle Paul say? All right, he should look favorably on law keepers. He himself being a Jew and a Pharisee and the son and grandson of a Pharisee. If there's anyone that's going to be in your corner, it'd have to be him, right? Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. No one loves the Old Testament law more than a Pharisee. Come on, grant me this, church. No one loves the Old Testament law more than a Pharisee, right? No one. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, from analyzing Paul's letters and his style, his favorite way of teaching is to teach and compare opposites side by side. You'll find that in most of his letters. Here in 2 Corinthians 3, Paul's going to do exactly that and compare the Old and New Testaments or Old and New Covenants using this technique, side by side, old and new. He's going to compare the two. And what we discover from this Pharisee is shocking. Shocking, to say the least. All right, let me give you the context here first. It's not fair to go into the middle of a book without understanding the context. Here in this letter here in this portion at least, he's defending himself from people that were trashing him. That's what most of 2 Corinthians, that's why it's my favorite book. Because you get a side of him you don't get anywhere else. He's personal, he's sarcastic in it. He has to stand up for himself. So that's what he's doing. They were trashing him behind his back. They were saying he's not even an apostle. So that's the context we're getting into the middle of. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. It says, do we begin again to commend ourselves? I think meaning him and Silas. Or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you? Or letters of commendation from you. You are our epistles, written on hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living. He's already starting right here. Left and right. He's going to compare two things side by side. Written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. So he's comparing old and new. Now, hear me, church. This is absolute key to understanding what this former Pharisee now thinks of the old covenant as compared to Jesus and his new covenant that he ushered in. Verse 4, we have such trust through Christ towards God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. All right, here are his comparisons, old and new, if you want to write them. Old and new. Here's his comparison. There's seven of them all together. He's comparing, the Pharisees comparing the old covenant and the new covenant. And it's important for you to see the change in what he thinks of the old covenant.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WG.